Just a quick thing. If you want to help some moms out, especially around this Mother's Day, we have our Mops and Moms Next that meets this Monday and Tuesday. So after service, we need all the tables stacked or all the chairs stacked on the side, and we need about 8 or 9 tables brought up. So if you can help out with that after service, that would be fantastic. And that's pretty much it. So if you want to open a Bible up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or go to your Bible app to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll open us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for each person that's here this morning. We thank you for all the moms here, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we would just be a blessing to our mothers, and we would just follow after you so that they could be blessed by us. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to help us to focus our attention on you. I pray now, Lord, as we get in your word today, that you would just help us to understand it and focus in on it. I'm just thankful again for the study that we've been in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're still in SMH, shaking my head, when Christians don't act like Christians. We're in week 14, which brings us to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you remember in chapter 7, roughly around chapter 7, what was going on was Paul was responding to questions that they had. So now what he's going to do in chapters 12, 13, and 14, he's going to focus his answers on spiritual gifts. So apparently they had some questions that revolved around spiritual gifts, and we see there was probably some arguments, issues, and disagreements over the spiritual gifts. So Paul enters in chapter 12 with this teaching. So he starts off, the first thing he wants them to know is spiritual gifts are given to believers. That's going to be our first point, verses 1 through 3. Spiritual gifts are given to believers. So let's look at verses 1 through 3. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." So now what Paul's doing is in these first three verses, he's kind of dealing with the three responses that people have to Christ. Because basically what he's building here is, and what he's answering is, only believers actually have the Holy Spirit. So therefore, only believers will actually receive spiritual gifts. So he talks about three things. The first is the rejection of a pagan. And he says this, "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led." So basically what he's saying there is some of you used to be pagans. And remember that when you were pagans, you used to follow after or worship mute idols, meaning you worship false gods that can't say or do anything. But then, so that's the response of the pagan. The pagan, you know, they don't know God. They worship something else or worship nothing. They don't know God, so they're not going to receive spiritual gifts. Then the second response was really geared towards the Jewish people. And in 12:3, Paul writes, "Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed." So if you kind of know what was going on in the Old Testament times especially, is, you know, the Jewish people rejected Jesus, that he was actually the Messiah. That's why they killed him. They killed him because he was saying, "I am God. I come in flesh. I am God." So he's saying anyone who says Jesus is accursed or doesn't accept Jesus as the Messiah, they obviously don't have the Spirit, so they won't receive spiritual gifts either. But then the final response is at the end of verse 3, he says, "And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So now what he's talking about is a Christian and how God does his work in the believer through the Holy Spirit. So what's going on here too is as well is if someone were to say Jesus is Lord, from the Jewish standpoint, they would be saying, you know, it would be countercultural because the Jews didn't believe Jesus was God. From a Roman standpoint, it was something you couldn't even say because they were directed to say Caesar is Lord. So of course you couldn't say Jesus is Lord. You would have to say Caesar is Lord. So the Christians were going counter to the culture, but the reason why was because they had the Holy Spirit. And what Paul is teaching them is with the Holy Spirit is going to come these gifts of the Spirit. So he says, I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to realize who actually has the Holy Spirit and who actually has these gifts. So why does Paul bring up these three responses? He does to refute the claims of those in the church in Corinth who assume that they either possess the Spirit or they possess spiritual gifts. But Paul wants his readers to know that only the ones who have received Jesus as their Savior, receive salvation from him, are the ones who receive spiritual gifts. See, the gospel message is pretty clear to us in the scriptures, and that's what we pretty much, that's the cornerstone of our faith, is that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Jesus Christ rose again to prove that he was God, and Jesus promised eternal life to all who believe. But not only do we receive eternal life, the scriptures tell us that we receive the Holy Spirit, and along with the Spirit, we actually receive spiritual gifts. And that's what Paul's really going to talk about. So now what Paul does is he teaches about these spiritual gifts. The first thing he's going to teach us then is there are a variety of gifts, and they're all given by God. There are various gifts, and they're given by God. So let's look at verses 4 through 6. He says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all to everyone. So now, as he's talking about these spiritual gifts, he's saying, okay, there's various gifts. We're going to deal with some of them today. There's roughly, you know, anywhere between 20 and 23, depending on, you know, who you talk to in some senses, because, you know, the way people interpret things. But we're going to deal with all this over the next few weeks. But he's saying there's a variety of gifts and there's a variety of ways that these gifts are used, but they're all given by God and they'll all serve the greater purpose of bringing glory to God. Even though they're different gifts, they're all going to serve the purpose of bringing glory to God. So with that, Paul then says the reason why these gifts are given. Let's look at verse 7. He says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Okay, for the common good. So what he's saying here is, for the church in Corinth, this is really a key verse. And really, for us it is as well. The reason that we even receive these spiritual gifts is not for our own edification, not for us to look good, but it's for the common good of the church. It's for the common good. So God gives you gifts to use for the common good of the church. And later on, next week, I think, in chapter 12, it's going to really teach us how we should function together as a body under the head, which is Jesus Christ. But the gifts that we receive are for the common good. Now, as believers, we receive spiritual gifts. The scriptures don't tell us how many we each receive. And what I want to do is I want to clear the air a little bit to help you kind of understand where we're going. Some of you might not know anything about spiritual gifts. So spiritual gifts are not talents and abilities. Okay, you might be really good at something. Maybe you're good at a sport or a hobby or a career. That's not necessarily a spiritual gift. Some of the things that you are good at might fall under the category. But for the most part, these are spiritual gifts used for the benefit of the body of Christ. Another thing that we have to understand about spiritual gifts is that my stance, and I believe the stance of the church, is that there are certain gifts that are what we call sign gifts. And these sign gifts served a specific purpose at a specific time to further the message of Christ. For example, when we look at the scriptures now, this letter is the first letter written to the Corinthian church, right? They didn't have the New Testament, did they? Okay, so when they were out preaching and stuff, they couldn't say, okay, in the Gospel of John or in Ephesians, they couldn't do that because this was all being built. They were actually living this. So for you and I, when we go to share the message, people can say, what proof do you have of that? We go to the scriptures. God's word is complete and in our hand and given to us. So we go to the scriptures. But the believers in the early church, they didn't have that. They didn't have the scriptures to go to. So I believe that what God did was some of these gifts that we are saying are the sign gifts were very specific signs to further the message. So for instance, we're going to talk about a gift called healing later on. if a disciple went into an area and started telling people about Jesus and how Jesus rose from the dead and how Jesus saved them, and, you know, people were like kind of skeptical and stuff, then they would see somebody who was like hurting with an ailment or something like that, leprosy. They would go and they would heal them, literally touch them and heal them. We have scriptures about this. Touch them and heal them. People would be like, whoa, like, I'm going to listen to this guy. What, you know, where did he get that power? But if you notice when they do healings like that, you'll notice a common theme. It's always in Jesus' name. It's always in Jesus' name. So basically what we have here, we have some gifts that we're going to see that Paul talks about to the Corinthian church that are not in use today. Not in use today. We call them the sign gifts. So what I'm going to do next is I'm going to go through verses 8 through 11. And in verses 8 through 11, he's going to give us nine of the spiritual gifts. This is not the whole list. We're going to deal with nine just today. And basically, what we're going to learn is these gifts are given to people to elevate the name of Jesus. They're given to believers. They're given by God. And they're given to bring glory to God. They're given not to elevate ourselves, but to elevate Jesus. So verses 8 through 11 are the nine that we're going to study today. Let's look at verse 8. He says, "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills." So now he's saying, okay, here's a list. Here's nine of the gifts right now. And they're given by the same Spirit. And they're empowered by that Spirit to work. So the first one he mentions is wisdom. Wisdom refers to insight into doctrinal truth. Those that have this gift have the ability to understand and explain biblical truth and harmonize things that may be confusing for other people. So a person that has the gift of wisdom, we're talking about biblical truth here, we're talking about doctrines, and a person that's able to harmonize and help people understand that. This is not necessarily just a well-studied person. This is a person that actually just has this gift. They handle the scriptures well. Some of you may have read some biblical commentaries, or maybe you have a Bible, a study Bible, like a Bible with study notes. And they're like, whoever authored those study notes is probably a person that has the gift of wisdom, because you're like, wow, I wonder what that means. Then you look down the study notes and it's like, okay, this connects to this scripture or this scripture and this scripture. And in the grand scheme of things, this is what it means. You're like, wow, that's great. That makes sense. Well, the person who wrote that probably has the gift of wisdom to help people understand what the scriptures actually say. Along with that gift is the second one he lists here is knowledge. And that's the ability to apply biblical wisdom to everyday life. One of the biggest problems that people have with the Bible and with Christianity is they look and say, it's an ancient book and it doesn't speak to today. But the person with the gift of knowledge not only uses that knowledge for themselves, but they use that to help other people to apply biblical truth. And you and I both know, I mean, we're here every Sunday. The Bible has so much to say for today. It has so much to say for today. And everything that's going on in our culture and in our world, we can look and learn and find out what the Bible has to say. It might not speak directly to the issue or problem, but it has principles that apply to each issue. So the person that has the gift of knowledge is the type of person that, you know, seems to be able to apply those things and help other people apply those things. The next is the gift of faith. And now this is not the faith required for salvation in Jesus. We all have faith in Christ if we believe in him. If we believe Jesus died for us, we all have faith. But this is a very special gift of faith. And this is the type of person that usually pursues things that just people that don't have the gift of faith will be like, that's impossible. Okay, that's impossible. You're going to do that? That's impossible. You're going to go down that road? You're going to pursue that? That's impossible. Some might even look at some of these people and say, you're crazy, okay? You're crazy because you're doing something that is like just nobody does that. But this person just has such a great gift of faith that they pursue things because they really believe that God desires them to pursue those things. And then all of a sudden, you see those things come to fruition. You know, when I think of the gift of faith, I always have to go to missionaries, and missionaries, especially of old. But one of the missionaries that I know personally, his name is John Moxon. Some of the teenagers over the course of the years have visited Northern Ireland and went to do mission work with him. And he would always say, when we first went there the first time, he was like, you know, this little guy, he's like, I'm a faith-based missionary. And we're like, faith-based? What do you mean? He's like, I never ask for any funding. Never ask for any funding. He's like, how do you get funding? He's like, I ask the Lord. I just pray in faith that the Lord will bring it. And, you know, he'd be like, you know what? I needed to buy a place to host groups, and I needed $125,000. I walked out to the mailbox after I prayed, and there was a check for $125,000. I was like, man, I need faith like that, okay? Just literally things would happen. Like, he would have stories upon stories of things like that. So, you know, I had the privilege, and many of the people in our church had the privilege of meeting him personally. I know he spoke here as well. But I also came across a story, and you know, I always kind of knew a little bit about this story of a man named Hudson Taylor. He was a British man, and he actually was a missionary to China. And he went over to China, and I think it was like late 1800s or something, early 1900s. He went over to China and, you know, did mission work. And today, in the Chinese church in mainland China, almost every Christian mission type work is somehow connected back to the ministry that Hudson Taylor started. Like, this person became a Christian, then they went and started this. This person became a Christian, they went and started this. So I always thought that was really interesting. I was like, wow, what faith, a British guy to go over to China and be a missionary like that. But then I read a little bit more about his story, and this is really interesting. His parents evidently really had the gift of faith, because before Hudson was born, when they found out they were pregnant, they didn't even know it was a boy back then. Like, they just knew they were pregnant. We're having a kid. And the mom and dad prayed, if we have a son, let him be a missionary to China. Like, who prays that? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you know, you're pregnant or your wife's pregnant, you know? You're like, okay, I pray for a healthy baby. You know what I mean? I pray for, like, them to be a Christian. Maybe you go an extra step and pray that they meet a good spouse someday. But you're pregnant or you're an expecting parent. Who prays so specifically that my child will be a missionary to China? In my opinion, it's probably only the person that really truly has the gift of faith. That really just the impossible. The things that people say, you're crazy. But they're doing because they really truly believe that God will not only answer those prayers, but that God is behind those prayers. The next gift I would call a sign gift, and that's the gift of healing. During the New Testament and when it was being written, you know, this happened a lot. We see a lot of accounts of these things. People being touched by one of Jesus' followers and healed, being casting out demons in Jesus' name, all these different things, healing the people of their sicknesses. This makes sense that it happened then, but what are we supposed to do with this now? Do we not believe that God heals? If we call this a sign gift and say God only did that during the New Testament times, then I think we're undercutting God a little bit. But my personal belief is God does heal. Does he use certain people to go and touch other people? I don't believe now he does. I believe that we pray as believers, and if God chooses to heal, he will heal. Okay? But you and I both know that we've prayed for people that weren't healed. So here's the truth of it. God does heal. I do believe he heals. Does he use specific people right now to actually touch other people and heal them? I'm calling it a sign gift. That's where I am. That along with that is miracles, another sign gift in which someone works a miracle that is contrary to the laws of nature. So we see that at certain times in God's economy, he actually used certain people to perform miracles. Let's think of Moses. Okay, Moses, there's a snake on the ground. Pick it up. Okay, it's a staff. Throw it back down. It's a snake. You want to go out today and pick up a snake? See what happens, okay? When you wind up at the emergency room, don't tell him Pastor Mike sent you, okay? Here's the thing. That was a specific miracle for Moses. So now we see miracles in the New Testament that specifically the followers of Christ were doing, along with the healings. So now we have to say these were to promote the message of Christ. So does God perform miracles now? I believe he does. Does he use certain people to be like miracle workers? I'm calling that one a sign gift as well. I'm calling it one of the gifts that is, you know, was for a specific time and God used it. Can God use it again? Sure, he can. He can do whatever he wants. But I'm calling the gift of miracles right now a sign gift. The next one, and this could be kind of confusing, and that's the gift of prophecy. Some might call this a sign gift. I don't, and here is why. The gift of prophecy can be very confusing because when you hear the gift of prophecy, automatically you think of Old Testament prophets, right? And they had a really great job, didn't they? They were like the most popular people, weren't they? What they did was they brought a message from God, and usually the message was judgment, okay? You're doing the wrong thing. If you don't stop, God's going to do something real bad, and he's going to straighten you guys out, okay? That's what a prophet would do. Wasn't a very popular job. And, you know, I've always said this. It's like a teenager going into like a party rager down the street and be like, you guys should stop doing this. Stop doing drugs and stop drinking. Stop doing that. What would happen to that teenager? Okay. The same thing that happened to the prophets. Okay. They would be beat up and killed. Okay. That's kind of the way people work when they don't like the messenger. But I would suggest that the gift of prophecy wasn't just for the prophets or wasn't just for the New Testament time. And I would tend to agree with like what John MacArthur said. A person with a gift of prophecy is speaking forth or proclaiming truth. This is by and large the gift of probably a teacher or a pastor because they are bringing a message to a group of people at a certain time. One of the things that is interesting to me, and I know Ryan agrees because he has to listen to all the services because he's here at all the services. I have three services. And even though I have notes, I have kind of like a lot of stuff that I plan on covering, it always seems to be that in each service, there's always something a little bit different. And sometimes I'm up here and I'm like, okay, I wasn't planning on saying this, but it's coming out now, okay? And I got to be careful, okay? And I pray that whatever that is kind of like the movement of the Holy Spirit because people need specific guidance. And for some reason, God needs me to say something that somebody listening needs to hear. So I would say the gift of prophecy isn't new revelation from God as far as moving away from the scripture. If you have somebody that's saying, I have the gift of prophecy and I'm going to teach something extra, anybody that says, like, I got extra, they don't got extra, okay? The extra isn't from Jesus, okay? I'm saying illuminating something that people need to hear from God's word. And I do believe that God works like that. And, you know, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, you know, sometimes when God's really working on your heart, it just seems like you can't get away from what he wants to communicate. Have you ever noticed that? Oh, man, I opened the Daily Bread and it was talking about that. I turned on the Christian radio. There was some pastor I've never heard before in my life, and he was talking about that. I turned on the TV. I can't get away from this stuff. God is trying to communicate something to me. Have you ever had something like that happen? The next gift is distinguishing between spirits. This is otherwise known as the gift of discernment. This is the type of person that, or this person's gift is they could kind of discern if something is from God or not from God. This could be a teaching or even a person. Teaching, I think of some weeks ago we were down in Florida and we were listening to a radio preacher who I won't name. And this radio preacher like was saying something good and I was like, yeah, that's good. Saying something good and I was like, yeah, that's good. Saying something good, yeah, that's good. And then saying something, that's not good, okay? That's not from the scripture. That person just decided that they were gonna lure us in with the scripture. And I don't know if it was purposeful or just, I don't know what it was, but I was able to discern very quickly that's not from the scriptures through study and through knowing the scriptures. But, you know, if someone says God wants everyone to be wealthy, what's your response? Okay? It doesn't take much discernment. I would say you might not even need the gift of discernment to know that that's not biblical truth. But unfortunately, there are people out there that are like, oh, that's what the preacher said? That's what I'm supposed to be? Why am I not rich? Why? What's wrong with me? What's going on? Depression sets in, all these different things. Not only with with teaching, but also with people. Have you ever, maybe you know somebody, or maybe you're that type of person where you just talk to somebody for about 5 minutes and you're like, something's off. Something's off with this person. If you're that type of person, you probably have the gift of discernment. If you're just like, I don't know, there's just something. And then when you finally find out what the off is, you're like, I knew it, you know? And you don't even want to be right, but you're just like, I knew it. There was just something about the way that person acted, the way they talked, the way, maybe even just like the way they carried themselves. You might have the gift of discernment if that's you. If you really, truly pick those people out pretty quickly. So the last two gifts, and this would probably be the most controversial, and guess what? I'm not going to deal with them today, because we're going to deal with them in chapter 14, but it's tongues and the interpretation of tongues. We're going to deal with all that in chapter 14. It really does need more than just a few words to deal with, because it's very controversial in the church today, in the church in America and the church worldwide. So we're going to deal with those in a few weeks, so hang in there. But before I close, here's what I want to do. Most of you are like, okay, spiritual gifts. Maybe for some of you, this is like so new. I can't really even remember the last time I talked about spiritual gifts. But maybe some of you are struggling. You're like, you know what? How do I even know? How do I find out what my spiritual gifts are? Like, you know, how does this work? Well, there's a few ways. Here's some suggestions for you to help you to learn what your spiritual gifts might be. Remember, we don't know how many we have. You could have one. Well, you definitely have one. You could have four. Maybe even more. I don't know. The scriptures don't specify how many each person has. So how do we find out what gifts we have? There's a few ways. The first, you got to start to pray. Lord, show me what my gifts are. You know, if you really want to know this, because next week we're going to learn how you using your gift actually works together as a body, together to serve Christ. So the first is just pray, like, God, like, show me this. I want to know about this. I want to know what your word says. I want to know how I fit into it. The second is ask yourself a series of questions. What are you good at? What are you good at? Maybe you're just good at something and it just comes easy to you. And then you found out, like, okay, you know, actually that's one of the gifts. Like the discernment thing, you know, some people are good at that. They're just good at that. And maybe, I didn't realize that was a gift that God gave me. I'm going to continue to use that. So what are you good at? What seems to come easy to you? Let me just tell you this. This is a good question to ask, but this isn't always 100% foolproof. And I'll just tell you, for me personally, I do feel like one of my gifts is teaching. And I could tell you this, it did not come easy to me. I've been here for 22 years. Some of you have suffered through many, many sermons and youth lessons and know that, like, what is he talking about? You know what I mean? Like, normally people that have the gift of teaching, people leave taught, okay? Have you ever sat in a school classroom and the teacher evidently didn't have any gifts in teaching anything, okay? You left scratching your head more confused than you were. Things don't always come easy. Sometimes you have to, for me personally, I knew God was calling me to do what I'm doing, but I really, truly did. It didn't come easy to me. I really had to work very hard at it, but I do feel like it's a gift. So the next is, what do you enjoy doing? What do you enjoy doing? You know, God, the way he built us and the way he gifts us, when you actually utilize your spiritual gift, you're like, man, this is awesome. Like, for instance, one of the gifts is hospitality. And some of you just love that. You just enjoy having people over your house. Others of you, it's really obvious, okay? You don't like to have people over, okay? When people, you know, if you're giving somebody your coat and saying, get out, okay, with a little foot, you know your gift is probably not hospitality. But I want to warn you, because the scriptures do tell us to be hospitable. So it's not like, oh, I don't have that gift, you know? I don't need to do that. No, you still do need to do that. But the truth is some are more hospitable than others. And some of you know people like that. I mean, they're like, yeah, you don't have a place to live? Come and live with me. Like, what? Like, I'm looking at those people like, it's pretty evident that's not high on the charts for me if I'm thinking that way. So the next is, what do others say about you or encourage you in? Like, what are others saying? Like, you know, when I listen to you or when I talk to you, you're such an encouragement. Another spiritual gift is the gift of encouragement. Maybe you're the type of person that is super encouraging to other people, and people say that to you. You know, every time I talk to you, I just feel like better. Like, I just feel like you understand me. I just feel, maybe that's you. Maybe you have that gift and other people are validating that for you. They're telling you, like, you're good at that. Like, that's something that you excel in. The third thing you can do is make yourself available to serve in different contexts. There's nothing better than trial and error. If you think that you might have a gift, you might want to serve in some ministry. And like, I might like that. I might think. And I can tell you this. If you absolutely hate it, it's probably not in your gift set. If you're kind of like halfway there, it might be. If you're like, I love this, I found what I'm supposed to be doing, then you know, like, okay, this is how God has gifted me. And when you start to find those things, what happens is the purpose of your life becomes a lot clearer. The purpose of why you're in this church becomes a lot clearer. You know, so many people will talk to me and they're like, oh, I wonder why I'm here. I wonder why God, I feel like God wants me at this church. I wonder why. Somebody actually just got in touch with me and, you know, and said those things. And then they said about how a ministry that they wanted to start to cultivate within our church. And I'm like, that's probably why you're here. You know, we need somebody to do what you want to do. So that's probably why you're here. That's probably why you're part of this church. Probably why God led you to our church. And the fourth thing that you need to do in order to learn about your spiritual gifts is, and this is kind of, might sound bizarre, but take a spiritual gifts test. And there's online tests that you can take that are put together by Christians. And basically what it does is this, it asks you questions about scenarios and different things. And, you know, for instance, let's take hospitality. We'll ask a question is like, do you enjoy having people over your house? Do you get nervous when people come over your house? Like, they'll ask you questions like that. Are you empowered when people come over your house? You know, if you answer, yeah, I'm empowered, you're heading down that road to the gift of hospitality. So what it does is ask, I want to say it's maybe 140 to 170 questions. So it's a little time consuming. But here's what it will do. So you'll take that test, and then it will kind of spit out the answers to you. And it will say, these are the gifts you're high in. These are the things that you might be spiritually gifted in. Granted, it's just an online test put together by people. So, you know, it's not foolproof, but it can kind of lead you in the right direction to kind of understand what your gifts are. And I can tell you, when you start to cultivate and start to kind of like live in, for lack of better terms, the gifts that God has given you, it really starts to make sense. It really starts to help you understand how God made you, why you're in the place you're at. Or it might make you understand why you feel the way you do. Maybe you're just like feeling purposeless and feeling discouraged and feeling depressed. Maybe, just maybe, it's because you're not utilizing anything God's given you. You're just taking those gifts and just kind of like, whatever, I don't even really know what to do with them. So I would encourage you to pursue that. Next week, like I said, we're going to learn about how these gifts work together and how we can work together as a church. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here. I just pray, Lord, that as we go about this week, that we would think and pray about the gifts that you've gifted us with. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to understand that the gifts that we were given by you are to be used for you and to promote your message.